in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, you better wake them up. Drag them out, get them out. It is a beautiful morning in Austin, Texas. It's a Thursday morning in Austin, Texas. That means buck ons and buck offs. Who needs a pat on the back? Who needs a kick in the rear? You decide. And we'll certainly launch into the buck on for the weather. 53 degrees, crisp and cool. Rising up to about 75 under bright sunny skies. Should be a great day in the ATX. Same for tomorrow. A little warmer, but still beautiful as we get into the weekend. Gotten you up over the hump now into the weekend with the Longhorn first home game. In about a month, so we'll start previewing and drilling down on the Kansas Jayhawks. Les Miles and crew coming in. Obviously, Tom Herman and company looking to work on things coming off that loss to Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl. We've got Week 7 in the NFL opening up. We've got baseball, Mother Nature, the winner last night, but plenty of baseball to be played in the American League Championship Series. So we'll get into all that over a busy morning. Mr. Godbolt.
Yes, good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you very much to you vets, to you teachers. And, of course, you EMS out there working so very hard to keep us safe, keep us healthy.
That's right. I actually rolled down the windows this morning. Just put them down. Just put them down. Soak it in. Take a deep breath. 53 degrees, crisp. Nice. Take that.
Yeah, it'll be like that until the weekend where it'll be in the 90s again.
Ugh.
But it will not get close to 100. And well, next week it'll be back to where we're loving it to be, probably low 80s and 70s next week. Just try to get through this weekend.
Yep, it's going to be a good one. Longhorns and the Jayhawks, and we'll hear from Les Miles coming up. He's trying to make it through his press conference, his game week press conference this morning before the show. That's a weird dude, man.
Yeah, he's out there.
Now, I'd like to deviate.
Like we thought, like at Big 12 Media Days, we played a lot of his audio and back in July, and a lot of people claimed maybe he was on meds or something. But I watched his Monday news conference and coming off their bye week, and he's just
he's sort of like me. He can't focus in on a lot of things for very long. He goes to another, he jumps to another thing. He gets real bored real quick, and so he goes into something else. That
Lady D?
Yeah, he goes from spot to spot to spot
to spot.
Well,
I mean, it's pretty
big easier
story
to do that.
Monday in Lawrence was his first visit with the media since they went into their bye week, and he fired his offensive coordinator Les Koenig and promoted a 34-year-old guy who had been an analyst.
You're fired.
And so he's going to be the OC. And the media were asking, like, fair questions. Okay, well, how did this happen? What was the deal? And he would just kind of stammer and yammer, and we felt like this was the best thing.
Hell, they just woke him up to the fact he actually fired somebody. He didn't know there's somebody who was missing on his staff, probably.
Yeah.
Well, after a week.
We'll dive into it and hear from Les, or try to. We'll also hear from the Longhorn coordinators, licking their wounds a little bit, coming off the loss to Oklahoma. Tim Beck and Todd Orlando available after practice last night. And we'll learn more about this 34-year-old offensive coordinator for Kansas. You know, Les Miles hired an original offensive coordinator, and I believe Chuck Lindsey was his name, and he, after being hired, left to take the head coaching job at Troy. So then he promoted Les Koenig, and then that wasn't working this year, so they fired him and they promoted this guy, this 34-year-old guy that we'll hear about and learn about. But Kansas comes in 0-3 in Big 12 play. They're 2-4 on the season, and their best win was it over your Boston College Eagles.
Yeah, no kidding.
On a Friday night where they scored 48, 49 points, and the players credited this new offensive coordinator for being the catalyst, that he was calling a lot of the plays.
That didn't last long.
And so Les Miles got to look at that and said, hey, wait a second, we need to go to this young guy who was on the Auburn
Playing, yeah, after playing OU, what was your expectations there, Les? That you were going to go in and blow OU out?
Well, I wanted to hear him explain why he did it, but he really couldn't explain it very well. So we'll let you hear what Les had to say about the change at coaching offensive coordinator. There are a lot in Longhorn land that are looking for a change at Longhorn coordinators. We'll hear from them coming up. And we'll do your buck-ons and buck-offs. It's your day here on the Show of the People. You decide who needs a pat on the back, who needs a kick in the rear. That's how we do it on Thursdays throughout the morning. Hit us on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Also on the Twitters, the Twitterverse. You can hit us up on social media at the Horn ATX. Also, I'm at Aaron Hogan, E-R-I-N-H-O-G-A-N. Bucky never checks his, but you can certainly tweet him.
Yeah,
at
you can
Bucky,
tweet me.
It'll be Bucky Godbolt.
What does it do? Does it just sit there?
Yeah, it just sits there.
Okay, cool. You can tweet me, at Bucky Godbolt. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's become a new piece of lingo. Don't at me.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, don't at me.
No, you guys can at me. I just won't ever
see
it.
You can at Bucky Godbolt. We will also dive back into the LeBron James situation. More details coming out of what went on in China with LeBron. So we'll get into all that. Let's start with the headlines as we do each hour. Make sure you're in the know as you get up and out on this Thursday. UBO Business Services brings it to you. We'll start with Texas football. Longhorns continuing their game prep for Kansas on Saturday at the stadium. It's their first home game in a month. And after practice last night, both coordinators met with the media for the first time since the loss of the Cotton Bowl to Oklahoma on Saturday. Defensive coordinator Todd Orlando weighed in on his unit's struggles with the fundamentals.
The missed tackles were glaring. So we went out on Tuesday and we addressed it. We did a whole bunch of live work and, you know, and our kids responded really well to it. You know, there's technical things, there are angle things, but things that, like any fundamental or technique, we're going to rough the heck out of it until it gets resolved.
It is Texas and Kansas coming up on Saturday. 15th ranked Horns 4-2 and 2-1 in Big 12 play. Jayhawks 2-4, 0-3 in the conference. Game kicks at 6. Our pregame coverage goes live at 1 o'clock. 5 hours out down at the Texas Tail Garden, then double barrel coverage with Schultz from Bevo Boulevard. And we'll hear it all live right here on the Horn 2 days out. Elsewhere, the autopsy report for former Longhorn running back Cedric Benson has been released and reveals that Benson had likely not been drinking the night he was killed, but it did have a minor amount of THC or cannabis in his system at the time of an August motorcycle crash that killed him and a female passenger in West Austin. Benson had a blood alcohol level of 0.02. Legal blood alcohol limit is 0.08. And according to toxicologists, the low number, more consistent with ethanol produced by the body during decomposition than alcohol consumed that night. To the NFL, Week 7 opens tonight in the NFL AFC West battle. Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Denver to face the Broncos. Chiefs are 4-2, but have lost two straight. Broncos are 2-4, but have won their previous two games after an 0-4 start for new head coach Vic Fangio. That game kicks about 7:25 tonight. Baseball, as expected, Mother Nature. The winner of yesterday's Game 4 of the American League Championship Series, Yankees-Astros, washed out in the Bronx. They'll play Game 4 tonight. They're going to play 4 games in 4 days now in the American League Championship Series. No travel day whatsoever. They'll play the next two tonight and tomorrow night in New York. It's Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees, Zach Greinke for the Astros.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Might as well get the big buck off of the week off of our chest, and that is buck off to that performance by the Texas Longhorns last Saturday. It by far was truly the closest blowout that I've ever seen.
Closest blowout of all time.
Yeah, closest blowout.
I think
blowout.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
But can the close blowout humble you and get you in line, as we've talked about this week? I think they've played the three best teams on their schedule, and that'll be apologies to Baylor. I think Baylor and Oklahoma State are pretty even. This is not to say Texas has an easy schedule from here. I'm saying they've played, we can argue about Oklahoma State and some other teams in the Big 12, but certainly they played the best two teams on their schedule in LSU and Oklahoma, and they lost both by a touchdown. Can you right the ship? As you just heard Todd Orlando say, get back to some fundamentals. There was a time in the past when we hear Mac Brown talk about circle the wagons and,
What this is.
And it is. And, yeah. How many times under Mac Brown did we see Texas lose that Oklahoma game early in Mac Brown's tenure, and then they would run the table and get some things, ironed out? And we'll see. This is still a team that will be that has a chance to be a really great offense and maybe the second-best offense in the Big 12. And that's what they're going to have to lean on is button up that offensive game plan. Sam Ehlinger, receivers catching passes. They're going to have to I think the defensive struggles are going to continue. I think that's fair to say at this point through six games. And
well, it's going to continue to struggle if they don't tackle well. And they've got injuries.
And that's the other thing. The number one thing for me right now is,
yes,
hey, you're coming off and you'd like to go yell at everybody and get really physical in practice, but you're down 4 starters in the secondary. You're down a couple of linebackers at this point. So you've got to be careful with that side of it. But so, yeah, I do think the defense will continue to have its issues. But, I said this earlier and this week that, last year in this game, Lincoln Riley lost the game and fired his defensive coordinator. And
they turned around, leaned on Kyler Murray in their offense, and they went on to win the Big 12 championship. I don't know if Texas is in that same spot, but that's kind of the mindset, right? You've got to lean on your best unit.
As you said, you've already played the toughest teams. These other teams, I mean, you should beat anyway.
Yeah.
These are games you're supposed to win.
Yeah.
From this point on.
Well, and look, I'll say this for Texas fans. It's been a decade of mediocrity for Texas football.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of those years where you couldn't use the phrase lean on your best unit because there wasn't a best unit.
Right.
Right? I mean, there wasn't. At this point, you have a quarterback that you believe in. You have an offense that you believe in. The offensive line struggles. You've got to work on those. You got to catch passes, be more consistent. But I think you have to win games with offense and special teams.
You've opened up some doors, some criticism, and you open up the door for other defenses now to twist and stunt and do some things.
Oh, yeah.
You better tighten that up as an offensive line, because that was supposed to be the strong point of this team, was this offensive line. And in just one game, now they put they made other teams think, maybe we need to do that, because we're going to be outmatched a lot of times. If we twist and stunt and make some big plays because these guys aren't prepared for it, we could be in games with them just because of that simple fact that happened to them last week.
Well,
coaches aren't stupid now, though. They'll go after you on that now.
Yeah, it's a copycat game.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that, and Texas has to be ready for it. And that was, again, the game plan against Oklahoma was an arrogant game plan. They even throughout the game, when it was a downhill defensive game plan for Oklahoma, no misdirection, no screen game,
it's not running the ball with consistency.
Look, you coached offense football a long time. If someone's coming at you completely downhill and selling out,
I need to slow them down.
Yeah, how do you slow them down? Well, you run misdirection. You get them going one way and come back the other. You run a screen pass or two or ten.
This is the week where you run the football and not run it with one guy eight times, other guy with two times. This is when you throw your reverses, you throw your screens, and I'm not talking about those tunnel screens. I'm talking about actual screens to your running back. And then you look back and say, why didn't we do this a week ago in the biggest game that we played so far?
Yeah.
That's what you do this week.
Yeah, well, you take your anger out on Kansas and Les Miles and get back to being – because, again, it was a terrible performance, but it was a seven-point loss. And so now you're 4-2, and you've lost, as we've said, to two of the top four teams in the country. And – you still got to get your swagger back. You still got to believe that you're...
We've got a lot of games to play.
Yeah, you got to go play games. And I did get that mindset from the Texas coordinators last night that it's all about moving forward. The player is the same. Let's put that game behind us.
You lost. You can't get that back. You can't look in the mirror and say, can I have that back?
Well, and that's the thing. What I'm saying is we thought they were a pretty good team going into the game and they didn't play well.
I certainly thought they were a good team going into the season.
I thought they were a good team going into the game on Friday. I picked them to win the game. They didn't. So I'm going to chalk it up to a bad performance against a good team, and now you got to rebound and go back and prove that you were a good team.
But it's not. There's nothing wrong with questioning things.
No doubt.
One of the questions I have also is, what happened to the role of Jake Smith? Did they totally lose faith when a kid dropped the punt? I mean, his production has. I mean, he's a really, really good player, and this offense has a tendency to have guys disappear, and you can't let that happen. That guy's a good player. And even though he's a freshman, he dropped a punt. Like, he can't disappear from your offense or your special teams. And I'm wondering if that's the case.
I don't think Jake was on the field Saturday. And that, the part of the nine sacks that we saw, I mean, from my vantage point at the Cotton Bowl, Sam Ehlinger would drop back and no one was open. So people got to beat coverage. And then when Sam did throw the ball to him, a lot of times they dropped the ball, which was problematic, including Jake Smith had a drop early in that game. But Sam was having a hard time reading that defense and understanding what was coming, and that's on the offensive staff and Sam. That's also credit to Oklahoma. Alex Grinch had Sam confused with what coverages were coming. And quite honestly, you played receiver and coached that position. They weren't winning routes. I mean, they weren't open a lot of the time, and that led to the confusion we saw. So all those things have to get better. It's got to be a wholesale improvement. And you talked about being overconfident, arrogant. You can be humbled. Yeah, I think they thought they were a pretty good offense and that they could just roll in there and they're good would beat Oklahoma's good, and that wasn't the case.
Because of the past success they had over the last 2 years.
Yeah, I saw them twice last year and felt like this will work against this team. Well, it didn't, and you didn't do anything to adjust to it. So everyone's got to get better. I do think Jake Smith will be a big part of the game plan, and that's been a conversation we've had all year. You go with that 10 personnel, which is four receivers and a running back and Sam Ehlinger, or do you go with Cade Brewer and a tight end and go with the 11 personnel? I think they're a more dynamic offense when it's four wide receivers putting pressure on a defense. But we'll see what Tom Herman and Tim Beck come up with. We'll hear from Tim Beck and Todd Orlando coming up. We'll also take your buck-ons and buck-offs on this Thursday. It's being a show of the people with you. I did mention that Cedric Benson thing. I mean, I think a lot of people I don't know what you take from that story, but it does appear pretty clearly from the toxicology test that, you could make a strong argument that that Cedric Benson was not impaired the night of his fatal motorcycle crash. A minor amount of THC in his system, an alcohol content consistent with decomposition, not drinking. Whether that changes the story for anybody or not, it's still a huge tragedy. But
yeah, I mean, he's still, it was an accident. It was just an accident.
Yeah, it's what it
THC
appears.
THC can be traced up to 30 days too, guys.
Yeah, and it was a minor amount. But either way, I mean, I think there was a narrative or a thought that, you know, he'd been out drinking and he'd blazing down 2222.
And when people saw the picture with his motorcycle in the paper, this is my Saturday night. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we know we've documented and talked about, and you've talked with Cedric about his issues with alcohol in the past, and has a lot of,
and downtown
and things that have happened. And in this case, it just appears that, it was dark. He might have been going too fast. I mean, the police report clearly indicated that speed was a factor.
Sure.
And a major factor in it. So that has to be put in there. But does not look like he was out drinking and then getting on a motorcycle, which good news, I think, in that spot. So buck on to the toxicology report. We'd also say this LeBron James story, Buck. So we played the LeBron James. This thing blows up the text line every time we mention it. But more is coming out.
And LeBron James.
LeBron James, because LeBron's mad at Daryl Morey, we know this. And here's a story from Yahoo Sports that LeBron James and Laker players faced, they lost a ton of money while they were in China when this thing happened. Ton of money. Like, LeBron James had planned to do a bunch of business deals while he was there.
Sure.
And cut a bunch of business deals because he didn't get to do it this summer because he was filming Space Jam 2. So he was supposed to get over to China and do some
work. The mogul.
Yeah, so instead he was making a movie. So he said, I'll use this China trip in the preseason to do my business deals with the Chinese. And he got over there, and of course Daryl Morey sent a tweet, and all those deals got shut down. So he didn't get to cut the deals. Also, I read this where Kyle Kuzma, when LeBron made his statement and said that, we were hurt financially, we were hurt emotionally, all this other stuff.
That's what he said first,
yeah,
financially.
Well, he said we, too. He didn't just say me.
Yes.
Kyle Kuzma lost $1 million. He was set to make $1 million on an appearance.
Straight cash.
One appearance for $1 million. And Kuzma.
I thought maybe it was Kuzma with Shuzma over there selling Shuzma.
It was something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he was.
We all know with yeah. This thing is now needs. It'll stop real soon because everybody in their right mind will say, it's about the money.
Well, and that's the Pandora's box or the whatever's been opened on this that I think a lot of people didn't understand just how financially viable the Chinese market is for NBA players and NBA teams and
LeBron's great
itself.
For the cause, but he's even greater for the money cause.
Yeah. And Daryl Morey shut that down. Shut down the money train. It might have shut down the money train for a long time if they're not careful. And that's but then on the flip side of that, this has been a very politically active league, a socially aware and open league. And all of a sudden they don't want to talk about a very important discussion because it affects their bottom line, right?
Sure.
I mean, this is an NBA.
And we talk about that all the time. We talk about if you don't like what's going on up in Jerry's world, don't go to the games. This is how you affect people.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is affecting their bottom line.
Well, now all of a sudden it's hurting LeBron's bottom line, the LeBron James Incorporated. But again, this is an NBA, a league that pulled its all-star game out of the state of North Carolina because of a bathroom bill.
Yes.
They said, we're not playing our game here. We're not going to let you benefit because we don't believe in your politics. Well, now they're trying to say, oh, we don't want to get into politics. We're not politicians, like LeBron said yesterday or the other day. Well, we don't want to get into politics. Well, you guys are in politics all the time.
Sure, you always have something
but
to
now,
say.
But now, because your money's on the line, you don't really want to have a stance. I think that's a pretty lame. Have a stance.
Yeah, the more it goes on, the longer it goes on, more and more, especially when you hear it on TV, the more reporters or athletes that were, they were former basketball players, the more they're starting to slide towards LeBron a little bit because it's about the money. But it's just too bad he didn't say it was about the money, because if you'd have said it about the money, everybody would have gone on. They really would have. They if you would have told the truth there at that point, and everybody would have said, okay, LeBron, cool, it's about the money. We got you. Let's go play basketball.
Well, the thing he said that I heard of the most in the court of public opinion was that Daryl Morey is uneducated on the matter. And LeBron was speaking from a selfish perspective, meaning, look, we had business. I had business deals to do. You didn't know all the stuff that was going on over here, man.
The word financial first before all these other things, these holy that and other stuff in those statements. As soon as he said financial, I'm thinking, well, there goes that human. Let's protect the weak and meek right there.
Well, and
let's protect my money.
And to suggest Daryl Morey, who's an Ivy League educated guy, who's dealt with Yao Ming and a lot of Chinese.
Been in China a lot.
I mean, the number one team in China. For marketing,
well, I can't be educated
are the
too.
Houston Rockets because they drafted Yao Ming and that really built connections and they've played.
So
many
when he
a
said
game.
That statement, he understood how that could affect. He knows what he spoke his mind. You know, we're talking about the NBA guys speaking their mind, but when the one guy speaks his mind and it hurts them financially, now everybody's pissed at him.
Well, look, the one guy who took a stance on this is Daryl Morey. There's one person in this that actually took a hard stance. And whether it was in his best interest or in the league's best interest,
right.
He took a stance. Everyone else is wishy-washy. And look, I'm all for people using their power to try to speak for those. Well, speak for the Chinese that are being, don't put your money ahead of the good of the people of China.
Well,
I got
an email from a young lady who emails me kind of often, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. But when she said, it's just sad that everybody's upset at LeBron James because he was speaking for mostly how a lot of people feel. I said, well, I'm thinking that doesn't make it right because a lot of people don't want to say stuff about the bottom line. I said, when somebody speaks of something, how about being creative and being caring really about really what you say? It's not about what other people would say and what they think that he just actually said. Well, no, that's not right.
No.
That's not right because you're supposed to stand up for something. You're not supposed to. It's not about this is how the American people are. This is what the public really thinks. This is how we really would say it if we had that opportunity. No. Be somebody different. Stand up for somebody for real.
Well, and I think that's why I say Daryl Morey's the one guy with a stance. He stood up for the people of Hong Kong and stood up for democracy with his tweet. It's bad for business, potentially cataclysmically bad for business for the NBA. I mean, there's been talk that the salary cap could dip 10-15% because of the loss of revenue in China if this continues.
Billions and billions.
He's got
and
a
billions.
Governor's mentality.
But what happened to doing the right thing? Put doing the right thing over money. What is the right thing? You're not going to change their government,
so
but
say,
at the same time, you can still speak up for freedom.
Yeah, just because everybody thinks that was what people think. Well, hey, can you be different?
Well, I don't know what people think. I think most people are for freedom and what's going on in Hong Kong and protesting, communist China trying to take back over.
There's an awful lot of people for bottom line, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we've got to look out for number one, right? All right, we'll come back. We'll take your buck-ons and buck-offs. Longhorn football and the coaching staff, players for the Oklahoma debacle. You can also see if we can turn the page. Also, Major League Baseball. We'll get into the ALCS. Washed out last night. Now 4 straight games. What are the ripple effect ramifications of that for the pitching staffs? Who's at advantage? Also, Craig Way has a Craig Way report. Got your B&E fact of the day and your buck-offs all day here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Being here with you as the football weekend, sports weekend starts in earnest today and tonight. It always happens on a Thursday, right? That's Buck On. We got football tonight, Chiefs, Broncos, a couple of teams heading in the opposite direction, but people still believe the Chiefs are one of the best teams in the AFC. We'll see tonight in Denver, where right now it's 24 degrees in Denver.
We're back.
But it's supposed to be nice for kickoff tonight.
And I don't mean Texas. I mean the McRib sandwich.
The McRib is back?
It's back.
I've never had a McRib.
I have never had one either.
All of my life.
I've just seen people. I've seen people just go nuts when the McRib comes back. I've never tasted it. It doesn't even look right. Baby ribs, like little
looks
baby
like
ribs,
a formed piece of synthetic meat of some kind.
Looks like squirrel ribs in bread.
Oh, too early.
Woo.
Too soon.
Mm-mm-mm.
Hey, join the Horn at Twin Peaks East Astney Lane location this Sunday for the Cowboys Eagles watch party. Huge game. A couple of huge games in the NFL this weekend involving the Texas teams. Cowboys and Eagles, both teams 3-3. Winner obviously will be in first place. We'll be there at 7 through the halftime there for your chance to win some man cards there to Twin Peaks. Always a good spot to hang out. Get all the details at our website, hornfm.com. Of course, Longhorns all day Saturday, getting ready for Kansas. And then Cowboys and Texans. Texans playing the Colts tomorrow night, or Sunday, I should say, Sunday at noon. In Indy, and tonight we've got Broncos and Chiefs. I'll give a buck on to this guy right here. I'm pointing to myself. I went out to Sharp Vision Modern LASIK yesterday.
Yeah.
Looks like I'm going to be seeing the individual leaves on trees.
You got the stuff that can do it?
Looks like I'm going to be seeing the individual leaves.
That's cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, how about that?
It's one of the better things I did besides get my teeth fixed. That's
You got the work done? You got the LASIK?
I'm over 10 years now.
Nice, and it works?
Oh, yeah. It's great for night.
Well, buck off to this guy because I had no idea how bad my vision actually was.
Yeah. If you have a problem night vision and you don't like that, and especially if you're driving somewhere where you're not used to driving, this is great. You can actually see the signs. You know my problem one day, I drove a car in between two parked cars because I thought it was a street in between them, and it was a sidewalk.
So your vision was really bad.
It was bad.
Well, here I went in there yesterday for a consultation, and I think because I got to wear these helpers, right? These over the counter plus twos to be able to read the computer screen in the morning. And so I'm thinking it's the near stuff, but no. She's like, no, your far stuff's worse than your near. And
yes.
That's what's leading to your 4-year short. I'm like, well, thanks a lot. Appreciate that. And she goes, when was the last time you had your eyes checked? I was like, grade school, maybe?
Yeah.
Grade school. So,
good
yeah,
job. That's good.
Lazy by me.
It's so quick. And it's you panic when you think about somebody putting a laser. It's over with.
It takes like 3 seconds, right?
Or
30 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah. So look at it. I'll report back with the individual leaves on trees. I'm looking to join Tom Herman and you. Being able to, and Major
you
Applewhite.
And Kevin and be able to see those leaves, Major Applewhite, and who else?
Oh, that's Colt.
Colt McCoy. Oh, that's right. Colt McCoy can see leaves on trees, too.
That's the funny story. My wife and I were at a wedding. Tom Gimble had a wedding, so my wife and I went, and Major Applewhite was there because Tom's a good friend of Major Applewhite.
Uh-oh.
And that's when the Colt McCoy Sharp Vision commercial was running a lot.
Oh, and called him Colt, did
she? Yeah, my wife went up to Major and said, hey, I like your Sharp Vision commercial. And he goes, oh, that's Colt. We all look alike. All us Texas quarterbacks. Oh, she was quite embarrassed at that
point.
That's
right.
All right, so that's fun. Buck ons and buck offs. This says, guys, the hypocrisy is laughable. Athletes complain Kaepernick is unfairly blackballed for protesting and speaking out, and they want Maury fired for a controversial tweet. Clearly, the players just want to get paid. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my thing. Well, on this side of the LeBron James thing, you know, whatever your politics are, it is disingenuous of LeBron James to say that the president is a bum, which a lot of people believe, but he said it openly. He said a lot of things politically. But then on this situation, he won't criticize what's going on in Hong Kong or China, and then he says, I'm not a politician. Well, you've inserted yourself into a lot of conversation. You campaigned for Hillary Clinton, which is fine. If that's your candidate, I'm all for athletes doing that. But you can't then not have a stance on China just because your money is involved and say you're not a politician.
Well, when he says freedom of speech has consequences, and you're getting it right now. You're now getting it. The consequences of what you said.
And it's not just LeBron. It's this entire country. You know, we're in bed with a communist dictatorship government. And so when you are, and that's where you're making a lot of money off of that deal, you kind of have to keep your mouth shut, unfortunately. And it puts LeBron in a bad spot. It puts the whole NBA in a bad spot. But I will still support Daryl Morey's right to say what he believes and fight for freedom, which he did, and the people of Hong Kong. So that story continues to percolate, buck-ons and buck-offs on both sides. Let's hear more from Todd Orlando. We'll do more of this throughout the morning, but obviously Texas fans still have that game at the Cotton Bowl on their brain, trying to figure out what went wrong and how bad was it. Let's hear from Todd Orlando. Was asked yesterday, what's your biggest frustration through 6 weeks? We've talked about they've played the first, second, and eighth rated offenses in the country, total offenses in America, in Oklahoma, LSU, and Oklahoma State, but still Todd Orlando not happy with where his unit is through half the season.
Explosive plays, you know, those are part of it. You know, and just me personally is just, you know, when we have opportunities to make plays, just finishing plays. Yeah. You know, that to me is a big part of just confidence, you know, playmakers, those type of things. And like I said before, and there's the shuffling of the deck and, you know, with some of the injuries, and it's not an excuse, but you know, you get into the point where some of these guys are moving around and doing quite a bit, and we'll end up doing the same thing this week, and you know, and just stabilizing things. That's what the biggest thing that we have to do is just stabilize the guys in their positions and go play fast.
A fair answer.
Yeah, I mean, and he said yesterday or last night, he kind of like I was on Monday, most upset with the last two drives. I mean, I know fans, you know, were aghast the whole game at the missed tackles and the.
I'm aghast at the missed tackles.
Right, and the whole game, but as we've said, and fans don't want to, they want to look at the whole 60 minutes, which is fair. I'm not saying that's not, but I'm saying at the end of the day, it was 20-17, and if his defense can get one stop, make one stop in that spot, you may have a chance to win the football game or at least tie it and get to overtime. And with the ease in which Oklahoma moved down the field at 20-17 to score a touchdown and kick a field goal to make the you know, a 3-point game a 10-point game, you know, just disheartening. I mean, it was just so easy. They did it so simply, and that's what he was most disappointed in, that they need to get back to work
on. As Brian Davis has said, it truly was the closest blowout I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And when you lose, you lose.
But I'm just speaking in the coach speak parlance.
Sure.
In Todd Orlando's mind, it wasn't a blowout. The stat page said it was, but at in the middle of the fourth quarter, it was 20-17. And if his team can make one, his unit can make a play, you know, make one thing happen, who knows how that game ends.
He better rethink the way he coaches then, because he gave up an awful lot in that football game in a lot of different ways.
Not arguing that, but I am arguing.
But you really are arguing that.
But I think that's a fair argument that I'm making.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you go into a game with a team that's averaging 53 points and you're in the middle of the fourth quarter and they've scored 20, however you got there, you're doing a decent job. You have put your team in a position to win the football game, and then to not even be able to make any semblance of a stop in that fourth quarter is to me the most disappointing part of the football.
What should be disappointing? You had two plays in the fourth quarter where when they went 60 some yards on two plays,
two runs,
two run plays,
two runs to the outside,
two basic run plays,
which you didn't contain the run the whole game. I mean, you didn't contain the perimeter, I should say. And they made it look easy, and
but you're giving that, and you gave that away a lot during the course of the game.
Absolutely,
but as you say, you're still in the game. But that's a lot to clean up. That's a mess. That's a mess right there on defense.
Correct.
It really is.
Yeah, that's when you take the fourth quarter, the first three quarters, and now the entire season. And yes, you're rated 100 and something in total defense.
But you can't do anything about injuries. There's nothing you can do. It happens. It happens to all teams. That's going to happen to you, and that's why you have to try to keep. And doing what they're doing. They're recruiting really good athletes.
Correct.
I just think they got caught up in something last week, too. I'm not trying to make an excuse about the mental part of it, but the mental part means an awful lot in a rivalry game. And when you think you're better than the other team in a rivalry game, you know what I'm saying? Or you're on par with them.
No,
are the champs. They have been the champs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, that's where the closest blowout comes in, because there wasn't one key Texas player that played a great game. Right, there wasn't.
I think you're right.
There wasn't one Texas coach that coached a great game, or even a good
even
game.
Joseph Osai was out of place at times.
A lot.
A lot more after I saw it the second time. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And he missed a bunch of tackles.
Correct. There was a mental side to it, which, you know, we thought they were a good team going into the game. I still think they can be a good team this year. But
better than anybody left on their schedule.
But I would say this for fans that are frustrated. Don't expect this defense to all of a sudden turn into a good defense. They're going to struggle. Even with Kansas, they'll give up some yards, and Puka Williams will get some things done. That's why you got to lean on your good unit, which is your offense. Your offense is your healthiest unit right now. It's your most veteran unit. That's where Sam Ehlinger plays. That's the unit that's going to have to carry you to victories this year. And the other thing for Tom Herman, as you said, get your hands around the special teams. Demand
Please.
Better. Demand better of your special teams and play the field position game. Take points when they're there. You know, play smart football with the better units on your team, where your offense and your special teams still should be.
Just doesn't happen when Ferry does.
It does not.
You know what I'm saying? Fairy dust just doesn't make guys that are injured become well. But they better get a grip on the tackling epidemic that they've got right now. And I don't know if it's because of injuries. I know this. There's that fine line now between how much you can hit and how much you can teach. And there's the only way to really teach it is to hit. So this is a long way to go in this season.
Yep. Well, disappointing. But I thought they were a good team going into it. I still think they're a good team, so I'm not going to, you know, write them off based on a bad performance. And I thought they played a really good Oklahoma team who impressed me a heck of a lot on Saturday at the Cotton Bowl. That continues to be the Buck On and Buck Off of the week. We'll continue to take on LeBron James, of course. Also, American League Championship Series. Who's in the advantage now that there's been a rainout? We were going to have a game last night. Didn't happen. Mother Nature won. We'll talk about it. Did the Astros gain the advantage, or the Yankees maybe gain the advantage? We'll debate. We'll also hit the headlines, hit your B&E fact of the day. But first, it's Craig Way with this morning's Craig Way Report.
It's the Craig Way Sports Report. Now, here's Craig.
The game week preparations for two of the area's three collegiate football programs begins to round the far turn. Texas State isn't part of a game week preparation since the Bobcats have an open date on the schedule this week, and Coach Jake Spavital's practices have been geared toward the road game the Cats will play 1 week from this Saturday in Jonesboro, Arkansas at Arkansas State. But Southwestern University is drawing closer to its home contest in Georgetown on Saturday afternoon with the number one team in the nation in Division III, Mary Hardin-Baylor. And Texas will be at home on Saturday night to face the Kansas Jayhawks, a team with a brand new coaching staff led by Les Miles, and Longhorns offensive coordinator Tim Beck sees some changes in the Jayhawks defense under their new defensive coordinator, DJ Elliott.
I think they're doing some different things defensively. I do think that, you know, like we were talking earlier, I think they've put in a system, and they're learning that system, and they grow each week within that system, and I think they're doing it the right way. They're not trying to, you know, just create some crazy defense and try to just, you know, let's win at all costs right now. I think they're building the system. They realize that, you know, at times that you know, it may not be as good, but they're getting better. And they play hard. They run to the football. You know, I like their secondary. I think their secondary does a nice job, and their up front guys do a good job. So they're definitely a much improved football team.
Coming up this afternoon, Tim Beck has more on his Texas offense matching up with the Kansas defense. That's in our next report. I'm Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Got our B&E fact of the day before the top of the hour, so get that cup of coffee in you and get your thinking cap on. I did stumble across, you know, because you always want to be creative with your facts of the day, Buck, when there wasn't a lot of sports to lean on last night.
Yes, sir.
Because the baseball game got washed out. So on Twitter, there's a tweet, a Twitter handle called Uber Facts, where it's just random little facts.
Sure.
Factoids that are fun.
What's a computer?
Exactly. Like this one that Buck off to Warner Brothers, because it says here at Uber Facts on Twitter that Home Alone, your favorite movie of all time.
Yes.
Was initially produced by Warner Brothers, but when the budget grew from $14 million to $17 million, they were no longer interested. So 20th Century Fox took it over.
See ya!
The movie went on to gross $476.7 million.
That's a mistake.
Great cash, homie. That's a dang coaching mistake, Warner Brothers.
That's a dang coaching mistake.
Dang coaching mistake, LeBron.
Got to step up into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I love this little Twitter.
Gosh. It
says here, your head ages faster than your feet.
Say that again.
Your head ages faster than your feet.
Your feet last a long time, huh?
Well, your feet are closer to the center of the Earth's gravitational field, where time moves slightly slower. Is that fake news or is that for real?
That sounds like fake news.
But don't your head come out first usually anyways?
Typically, unless you're breech.
Yeah.
Since, the average human farts 14 times a day.
There's not a chance.
Average.
Yeah, there is.
Average.
No, I'm not close to that. But when I do...
Well, I've been over 24 hours.
Most interesting man in the world. I become the most interesting man in the world when I do, but I don't.
And I stumbled across this story while looking for the B&E fact of the day, and I needed your and Wag's help on this. This is the this could be fake news, but it could be real, and I'm going to pretend that it is. Here's the headline: Man with a micro penis is suing his wife for revealing his secret.
With a micro, what does that mean? Does that mean really small?
Like eensy beensy teeny. So it turns out that they got married. They had been they waited till their honeymoon, till they were official, and then she got a glimpse of him and went to Facebook to tell the world. And so now he's suing her.
Are they no longer together?
Hey, they are no longer together.
Are they no longer together? That's
they are no
that's
longer
a huge commitment.
Yeah,
he must have had some incredible other attributes then.
Well, you know, we wanted to keep it simple.
Well, there's some people, that's right, that actually don't do anything until they get married.
So, yeah, who gets the buck off here? The wife, after seeing his micro unit for the first time, posted a story on Reddit. Come on, man. That's not very nice. You just got married to the guy.
That's wrong.
To me, those balls are perfect.
That is wrong to do. On the Longhorns,
nice change. Did you just deviate like Les Miles?
I
by the way, we're going to hear
really
from
really quickly now, right there.
I'd like to deviate from that.
We're going to hear from Les Miles coming up on our Coach's Corner, so get ready to be flummoxed.
Flummoxed again?
Yes.
I'll just say, I think I'm the whole week after this football game, I've been more after the defense than I really should be after this bad effort by the offense and the imagination of this offensive staff in the biggest game of the year. And, you know, and I'm really disappointed in the special teams because I thought Tom Herman really was going to take control and this thing was going to – he's got the kind of athletes that it should be special. And they should win big games like that they've lost, including LSU, off of the special teams. Now, they got a fantastic kicker. There's nothing wrong with the kicker. But some of the other parts of this, and sometimes you have to take the thinking out of the kids' hands. Like, there's no way that four or five of those balls should ever come out of the end zone. Sometimes you don't tell a kid that, you know, you're a senior, think on, you just tell them, you just say no, like you do to your kids, and your kids keep asking you questions like, but, you know, such and such, really, I can really get, and you just say no. You take all the thinking out of it for your kids sometimes, and so they don't have to think about it or anything else and wonder, does my dad really know what he's talking about? Well, how about this? How about if just dad just says no, or mom just says no, you're not going to do this. And then they come back to you 5 minutes later and they say, but, and you just keep going, no, I'm going to take the thinking out of it for you. That really is what surprises me about this staff, that they didn't do that in a big game. That truly hurt them.
But again, I think this week has been a lot of
learning.
Well, I mean, the comments have been fair. But at the same time, this go back to Friday, rewind the tape, this would have been known as a big game staff. This would have been known as a coaching staff that's great in big games, great as an underdog, great, you know, whether they were at Houston or at Texas or, you know, last year in the Sugar Bowl, that this they do more with less. And this was – so I'm gonna go ahead and give them one bad game in a big spot at this point.
You're not thinking they took a step back. They've taken –
Well, they've been humbled, I think. I hope. Okay. I mean, I think that would be the word
I like that word better.
That maybe they got a little bit over their skis on this thing. And, you know, the LSU game was humbling for the defense. But the most frustrating part for a Texas fan, even on this Thursday, is that if either unit had played decent,
yes,
they win the game. If the offense had come with a creative game plan and taken advantage of those turnovers and not scored 3 points in the first half and 17 or 24 for the game or whatever, the 27, but 3 points in the first half, you're going to win this game.
Yeah, no matter what you think about OU and their high-powered offense and they're this and they're that and they're smart coach, if you would have done a couple things, just a couple. I know it's in championships you don't get a chance to, and we don't get do-overs, but you're actually right. If you did a couple smart things, if you confused them, like they confused you.
Yeah, well, something to slow them down. I mean, that was one of the more aggressive defenses I've seen in a long time, and Alex Grinch just got more and more confident with anything he wanted to call. And the Texas defense never responded. It's like a boxer just keeps pummeling you, and you don't do anything to counter him. You don't do anything. You just keep running the same plays at him and expect a different result. I mean, that's the definition of insanity, is it not? And if Beck and Herman dial up some great plays, and they would say we made some adjustments, we were better in the second half. But if you came in with a better game plan, either side comes in with a better game plan and plays decent, they have a really good chance to win that game. And that's why I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I still think they can get back for a rematch with that game, as bad as it was. But I understand they have to do a lot of improving and take to heart what they learned about themselves on Saturday. All right, let's get to your B&E fact of the day, the actual fact of the day.
B&E fact of the day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, so what happened the last time Les Miles coached a football team at DKR? DKR, last time Les Miles, the Mad Hatter, brought a football team into Austin. Do you know? We'll tell you, and you'll hear from both coordinators and from Les Miles on trying to explain his sudden change of offensive coordinator middle of the season. We'll get to all that coming up. It's B&E on a busy Thursday. Buck-ons and buck-offs.